I just returned late last night from Manhattan. I was there for 3 days with my wife, Mary, as we went to my uncle's apartment. He passed away about a month ago. We spent the last 3 days at 52nd and 1st Avenue, if you know Manhattan. It's kind of living in that neighborhood. And so we have been moving things and preparing to clear out his apartment, which is just overwhelming. Some of you may have done this before, and we have a limited amount of time in which to do it. And everything you find becomes a story. Remember this? Remember this? Remember this? So I give that as a disclaimer as I attempt to preach this morning, as I share some thoughts with you. I was flying in last night, sort of trying to pull it all together, what I wanted to share with you this morning. In the last newsletter article, about a month ago, I had written an article about some books that I've read over the last month or two, and just wanted to share those with you as I was setting the theme of summer reading and looking at things. And the three books I read, and I want to just share some thoughts on that in connection to today's gospel. That's what I'm doing with you this morning. One of the books was written by John Meacham, who is a biographer, historian, and he wrote a book about Thomas Jefferson, and it's about the use of power and leadership, and Jonathan Meacham, he writes this book in such a way that he invites everyone reading it to try to enter back into the time of Thomas Jefferson. Don't evaluate that time, just enter into it and try to understand how he functioned in that time, in that culture. Because from our eyes, it may be difficult to really understand that. I mean, for instance, you know, as he pointed out, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "All men are created equal." And yet at the same time, he would go home to his home at the end of the day and his slaves would serve him his meals. And you know, I mean, for us, it's so contradictory. But Jonathan Meacham was saying, try to at least see the world as he lived it before we enter into our looking at it. One of the things I think what we do when we enter back into history, it's always suggested that we try to enter back into that time and to see it from that time. But I also think that authors, when they write something, while they may be writing about something in the past, are writing from their context, from where they live. So, for instance, John Meacham is writing this book on Jefferson's style of leadership, and one of the things he points out that is that Thomas Jefferson was one among many different ideas of what this country was to look like, and when he became president, though, he had this ability to not just lead from that one place that he saw, but he was able to see the value of other people's perspectives and to bring that into his leadership. So John Meacham points that out, and you would say, well, why is he pointing that out in his book? Well, my observation is he comes from a time where we're struggling and hoping that we could see our leaders doing that kind of leadership. So, do you know what I mean? So he comes from his experience now, trying to draw on someone's history to speak to this time. Another book that I was talking about was a book by Chris Matthews, Tip and the Gipper, which was a book written about Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. The book is about these two working together in the 1980s. Ronald Reagan was at that time in history, probably considered to be one of the most conservative presidents we had. And Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House, was considered to be extremely liberal. Someone once said it's doubtful either of them would have fit into their parties today from their perspective, but that's a political commentary we can have. But what he's writing about is how these two leaders in their individual responsibilities were able to work together even though they came from different places and different maybe philosophies of what the country was to look like, but they worked together. At times they struggled with each other, had arguments with each other, but they're also able to accomplish things together. So why does a book like that sell? Why is a book like that today written? I would suggest because in our time, we would long to see that again. I think it's fair to say. We would long to see that kind of working together to resolve things on all political levels. So the author's place, experience of life, has an influence on what they write about and what they draw upon. Another book I suggested was August Turak's book on the Trappists' way of what I like to say their way of work. When we look at Trappist monks or any monastic tradition, we always like to look at their spirituality. But the big thing about the monastic life is also the work that they do. And this is one of the few books I've read that talks about the work of a particular monastery in South Carolina. This is Mark Turek's brother who wrote this book. It's about looking at the world in which we live, this capitalist society, but to look at how these Trappist monks live this out. It's just another perspective, because it's a perspective, I think, that if you live in this time, we feel is needed. Do you get that idea? So each of those authors is experiencing life today, sees things that need to be responded to, and so writes a book, perhaps draws on past things to speak to that. The reason I share that with you this morning is that, in many ways, that's what the scriptures are like. The scriptures are very much like that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They write from that style. They see something before them that they want to address, and they draw upon the gospel of Jesus, the experience of Jesus that they had, this Jesus of Nazareth who walked this earth. They draw upon that to speak to their community. And what I would suggest to you is when you read the scriptures, you can look at what it's saying. What do these words mean? But if you want to go deeper, it's to look, well, why is this being written? Why is Matthew writing about this? Is this addressing something that's going on? You can almost get a sense or a flavor of what was going on at that time with Matthew. Especially that gospel reading we read today. That gospel reading today is very alarming if you listen closely to it. I've come to bring the sword and division, to set son against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I mean, you read this and all this alarming kind of language. Matthew is writing probably around 80 to 85 AD. Most scripture scholars suggest 80 to 85 AD. So what was the context of what he was experiencing at that time? What was the world he was living in? John Meacham lives in this world. Chris Matthews lives in this world. August Turek lives in this world and writes from this world. But what was the world that Matthew was sitting in when he wrote this gospel? Around 66 to around 70 AD, there was a huge war that took place, the Roman-Jewish wars, where Jerusalem was just decimated. Some historians talk about blood in the streets of Jerusalem. The Romans came in and just decimated Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed, absolutely destroyed. And during this time, there was among the Jewish people, there was this fleeing from Jerusalem. Many headed to the north, to Galilee and Syria, to escape this decimation. And they just fled. And not only was a building destroyed, not only was a city destroyed, but there was a call now for a new form of Judaism to be lived out. The temple form had been destroyed. The temple form of the priests and the sacrifices being offered was being called to change. There was no more temple. And what developed over these years were new attempts at what does Judaism mean and what does it look like. Some people think that Christianity just grew out of Judaism, but it's more accurate to describe it as more, there were lots of developments and movements happening within Judaism. The high priests were kind of didn't have the same role as they did when the temple was around. And what happened was the Pharisees began to take a rise. The Zealots were beginning to rise. They were so angry at the Romans. And there was also this little Jewish Christian sect of people within the Jewish world. These Jewish people who followed this Jesus. And they began to gain their identity until the point, by the time Matthew's writing, these people who have been known as Jewish Christians have pretty much separated from Judaism. Not only have they separated from Judaism, but Judaism has kind of showed them the door, you know, as they went off into this experience of who Jesus is in their lives. And so there was conflict in that community. Conflict in that community. St. Paul had already gone off to preach to the Gentiles, and Christianity was growing among the Gentiles in the Greek-speaking world. But within the Jewish world, there were still struggles going on. Separation had happened. Early on, Christians were part of the Jewish community. Now they were kind of separated from the Jewish community. And so Matthew is speaking, if you can picture that kind of a community, Matthew is speaking to folks who are conflicted. There are conflicts between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and daughter-in-laws and mother-in-laws. There are those conflicts. In their religious beliefs and how they want to follow their faith traditions, there is conflict. So Matthew is writing to that kind of a community. You know, and you can experience that in your own lives too. If you're a parent of children who are growing up and you know you can get into conflict about particularly religious things, or if it's the other way around, you're the child and your parents, maybe you've had differences in religious understandings. I mean, those things can happen. But in this time of Matthew, this is pretty deep-rooted. And so Matthew is trying to call these people to not let these conflicts disintegrate the community. But he calls upon the overall understanding he has of Jesus and says, Jesus talked about this. You know, Jesus, our call is to live the gospel. Our call is to bring about justice in our world. Our call is to reach out to the oppressed. Our call is to heal this broken world. That's who we're called to be, and we're called to go forth in community to do that. And that's the message that Jesus is sharing in this gospel reading today, according to Matthew's interpretation of that. Interestingly, Jesus... this is hard sometimes to understand, but Jesus did not necessarily talk about what we talk about today, family values. For Jesus, this is the family, the community of faith, a community of justice, a community that reaches out to the oppressed, as I mentioned, a community that heals a broken world. That's the community, that's the family that Jesus is talking about. And so to live into that community, yes, there's going to be conflict. Yes, there's going to be differences of opinions. Yes, that's going to happen. And so in a strange kind of way, as alarming as that gospel reading is to hear this morning, it's not that Jesus came, it's not that Jesus got up after the Beatitudes and said, and now I want to break up families. That's not the message that's in that gospel today. That message is being addressed to a particular experience that was going on. And Matthew, in many ways, is saying, don't let that get you off track. Jesus knew this was going to happen. Jesus knew this was going to happen. But we're called to help each other, support each other through this, and go forth to make a difference in the world. So I share those thoughts with you this morning as a way, even when you read the scriptures yourselves, sometimes not just to look at what the words are saying, but also look at those words. What was going on? Why did Matthew do that? I was reading, can't help but do this, in my uncle's apartment. I was finding letters, postcards, and I read this letter that he received from the vice president of the New York Yankees in 1952. Of course, we're big Yankee fans. This is like a relic right here. We're holding it. And it's the vice president of the New York Yankees responding to a letter that he wrote. We've taken your thoughts into consideration, and we're trying to address things as you suggest. So we see this letter. So I quickly took a picture of it, sent it to my brother. My brother said, well, what's the letter he's responding to? Where's that letter? What was going on, you know? And so Brian said, I got dibs on that letter. You know, he wants to hold on to that letter. But you know what I mean? What was the context of that? What was that all about? That's part of script engaging with scriptures. What is going on here that this is responding to? It can tell us something. So as we gather today, we continue to live in the context of our world, our time. And how do we take this wondrous gospel of Jesus and help it, enable it to help us go out into the world, make a difference, and bring the world into the dream that God has created it to be in our lives? Let us go forth together, living together, supporting each other in this great call we have.